James Rickards is a sick note today.
Why?
He's got the shits.
Well, I've been cooking for the last few days, so I think you probably could blame me for that.
Yeah.
Did he render those? Cinema 4D?
Raw chicken.
Yeah, that's what I tend to do. It's the only way to eat it. It's the only way to get the proper nutrients out of chicken is to eat it raw off the bone.
See, it's so funny that raw chicken is so bad for you, but I've had chicken sashimi in Japan many a times, and it's the marvelous thing.
Ah, yeah,
but it really depends on where it comes from.
Fair enough. Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we're here to discuss all the stuff in Mac, everything that's gone on, and it's been a very exciting day today because everyone's ordered their 10. iPhone 10 is here. You can buy it. You won't get it now before 2018, but you can buy it. Joining me to discuss this exciting day from head to toe, starting us off, I don't know what order they're in. Line 5, here we go. Doc, how the devil are you, man?
Oh, fantastic. I'm back.
You've returned from the land of the rising sun.
Yeah, semi-recovered and ready to do this.
Dude, you ate so much food.
You have no idea.
Holy crap.
Here's the amazing part about going on to a trip like such and eating like such. The common thought is, oh my God, you must have gained like 20 pounds. But truth be told, I end up losing weight because I've been telling people for this years and no one wants to listen because it sounds counterproductive. But if you're constantly eating, your brain knows you're going to feed it. So within about 3 days, your metabolism, that thing that makes you burn calories, catches on really fast and just keeps moving. So it never stops. So at the rate that I was eating, I was basically burning it right off because the body wasn't storing it.
I think there's a few dietitians maybe writing in disagreeing with you there. But I've got to say, your Twitter feed, mate, it looked like a capture thing for an I Am Not a Robot. click on the images that don't contain food.
Yeah,
I was like, so there's some eggs, there's some oysters, there's something out of some sushi, there's a place like an alley that sells food, there's like some frying stuff in the street, there's like some chefs, there's a plate of food, oh, a battery charger, there you go, I'll click that one. Oh, and there's a pair of knees, but I bet you there's a Chinese meal inside those two bags or something, or a Japanese.
Well, the funny thing about the alley that serves food is it's little over a kilometer and a half long. And you just walk down it, and it's just vendor after vendor of amazingly fresh food. And it's cool because they're all, like, they're sourcing their own stuff. So it's mostly the farmers, the fishermen, and everybody directly. So you're getting, like, stuff that was, like, oh, my God, prime. I had a muskmelon that would just blow your absolute mind how delicious it was. It's crazy. You got to go. I mean, and
I'd love to.
For you guys, this culture shock would be easier because I have to get the culture shock of everything being sort of quote unquote Japan. And then all of the Western stuff is British. I mean, Japan is one of three countries that drives on the wrong damn side of the street.
Correct side of the street.
Whatever. Because of your guys' influence. So like all of their Western stuff is British. So even the Western stuff is out of whack to me. But oh God, blessed country. You gotta go. Just nut up and go.
I do want to go. I definitely want to go. I love Oriental food in general. So
me too.
Love it, yeah.
Especially you, Patrice.
Did you get a 10 this morning, Doc?
Mm-hmm.
You did? Okay, we'll come back to that in a minute. Patrice, how the devil are you?
Yeah, doing great today, actually. So it's been a really cool week for me. And yeah, I'm looking forward to the weekend as always.
And did you order a 10?
I did not. I was tempted. I was ready to do it. But when I saw the 2-3 week delivery time, I just said, well, nah, not going to do it.
Nah, can't be bothered. And last, but certainly by no means least, our teleporting guru, Will Green, out there in the middle of France with James Rickards, who did order a 10.
In the middle of France with James Rickards.
Hey, what happened? I didn't know that was going to happen.
And he and he's had to take to his sick bed because the excitement was all too much.
You know, I think that's what it was. You know, on Christmas morning when you woke up at like 2 o'clock in the morning when you're a little boy.
Yeah.
And you just couldn't sleep. And I do wonder whether that's what it was or something. But he was very excited. And but yes, he has ordered it, and his wait time, because he ordered like within the first few minutes of opening is only 2 weeks.
Only.
And he's in France in the middle of nowhere and he's getting it in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I know. How cool was that?
Bastard.
But then apparently a couple of minutes later, it increased from 2 weeks to 5 to 6 weeks, and it's probably more by right now.
Oh, mate, it's horrific. It's out to late December at the moment, if you want to buy one.
Really?
Yeah. But, 5 to 6 weeks at the moment. You could be into 2018 before too long. So I didn't buy one. I'm not going to buy one because I just... There's a load of... Chris Campion stopped watching Twitter today because he was like, he's sick and tired of all the trolling and stuff that's gone on and baiting around whether you bought the iPhone or not. But I've had a chat with a few people online today and there's quite a lot of people going... I didn't want to buy it. I bought an 8 instead because it was like, that's the value for money. I just didn't see the benefit. And I've got to say, I'm struggling to see the value of spending £1,350 on a phone.
Yeah, yeah, too, right? And you don't even get a home button.
You don't need a home button. It has to be said, they will, but...
Yeah, but I want a home button. It's like saying...
There will be an app that changes the dock to a home button.
Well... Yeah, I think we there's a market for making a home button that you just stick on the front of the phone.
You're just going to nail one on there.
Yeah, just nail it on there. But yeah, no, it's like having a baby and you say, no, it's not got a belly button because this is baby version 2 and it doesn't need it.
No, it really isn't a belly like button. Having a baby. Jesus Christ, well, you are back.
I did tell you. Yeah. I did warn you.
If you wanted to buy one, you're at 5 to 6 weeks at the moment, and the 256 gigabyte one is out to £1,350 with Apple Care. £200 for Apple Care as well within that. Apple Care is well worth it because you're talking about a £500 swap minimum for a smashed phone or non-warranty issue, and a cracked screen is already at £230. So
I did the carrier insurance as opposed to Apple Care just go around just for the simple reason that it's cheaper and they amortize it with the plan. Whereas on Apple Care, they wanted you to pay the $199 straight. So it comes out a little bit cheaper. It comes out to $120 average for using my carrier insurance because you only keep the phone for a year.
Yeah. So I'm... I've got to give a shout out to Lee Peterson, who used to come on here regularly as well, because he got lucky this morning, because he's written in his blog that he wasn't going to buy an iPhone 10, and he's been tweeting out about how he's not going to get an iPhone 10, and it's rolled around this morning, and he's tried to buy one, but the card protection people that look for fraudulent transactions have gone, oh, no, you can't be buying an iPhone this morning. That looks like a fraudulent transaction. So they've stopped his card. And that one second of him going, oh, no, they've stopped my card, he's come to his senses. And he said he'd been golemized by the iPhone. It was all the precious and the shiny. So he's now decided he's not having one again. And he remembered all the reasons why he wasn't going to buy it. Ian Lewis, I was talking to him this morning. I said to him, you just think what you could spend £1,350 on. He went, new radiators and keeping the wife happy. So there you go. Mm-hmm. I think those two are linked. I don't suggest that they're separate. That's not what I'm saying. Sorry, that's came out wrong. But I've got £1,350 to spend on one, yes, but I just can't bring myself to do it. I really can't. And I also think it's a shortcut to raising the base price of the iPhone, which I find a bit offensive, really.
Yeah.
But if they do that and the base unit becomes this one, then I'm sorry. I might be looking at Android. There was a good tweet as well today from Sardonically on Twitter. And he said, I recently bought myself a Moto E4 as a backup phone. Is the iPhone 10 times, is the iPhone 10 better? Yes, of course it is. Is it 600% better than that phone? No, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an interesting point, isn't it? I mean, the Moto E4 is Android, but it's... I sat and actually thought very hard about what I use my phone for, and I love playing with ARKit, but I am just playing with it. If I'm honest, it's a gimmick. It's not a functional tool for me for work day to day at the minute. It's mostly the phone and the camera. That's the reason I have it. So at that price, it was just a little bit more than I could justify. Hi, who's got some roadworks outside?
I'm in a basement, concrete building, no sound.
You're in a bunker. Doc's, yeah. Doc's bunker.
Yeah, it might have been the helicopter that you that just flew over my place.
Ah, right, okay.
They're looking for you. I looked at the process and then I thought about it. And okay, so maybe the pound gap different is different. It should be the same, but
no, it's not.
The my 256 is sitting right here. Basically, cost me $1,000 last year.
Yeah,
and this phone basically comes out to 150 more. And my way I process it is, I spend like $150 on a Friday night at the freaking bar, throwing back alcohol. You know, so it's funny the crazy amount of outcry that I'm seeing on Twitter and FaceSpace and my books and whatever is about, you know, the price gap, but I'm seeing it from, I was going to use a bad word, from people who are posting pictures of themselves in a pair of Yeezys. I don't know if you melanin challenged people know what Yeezys are, but they're a pair of Adidas made by Kanye that runs roughly $500 to $800 a pair.
Well, I wouldn't buy those either. So
yeah, I understand that. Neither you know what I'm saying? But it's funny that when the conversation became, okay, let's go after it for the price, that's the one thing everybody went after for. Not a lot of people went after it for it doesn't have enough innovation, or not enough people said, oh, the camera is this, or the home button thing is going to be a challenge, or the durability is going to be, everything went after the same one thing. And I think it's funny because we quickly got jaded, because up until the Razr, when by the time second iPhone came out and the last of the Razr 3 or Razr 5, I forget the nomenclature at this point, was starting to hit the thing. It was the one that came in the kind of crystal blue, like the background behind my green frame. And it came in a magenta, it came in a solid silver, and it came in a matte black. And those Razr R3s or R5s, whatever the heck they were called, they were $1,299. And there was no such thing as a 2-year program. And there was nothing smart about that phone, except for it flipped. It was thin as hell. And the battery lasted like 3 days. That was the keys to what made the Razr the Razr. And up until the iPhone 3GS, it was the number one selling phone in the, you know, the sort of CDMA history or whatever.
Yeah.
And but the thing is, it's, the discussion is about price, because it is not just about price. It is about price and what you get for it. And I think the fact that people are focusing on the price is telling you that they don't, that a lot of people don't seem to think, and I mean, us included.
Well, I think people get shamed into that is what I was trying to say, though. I think that most of us, like a lot of the crazy stuff that we buy that we enjoy ourselves, a lot of people will catch, you know, heat from their friends and family, whatever. It's like, I got friends who'll be like, why don't you just drink Jack Daniels? Why you got to go and buy, you know, $400 and $500, $600 bottles of whiskeys? I'm like, because Jack Daniels tastes like words I can't say on British Tech Network.
Yeah, sure.
You know, but some people don't get it. It just because they don't have the palate for it doesn't make it okay to, like, you know, poo-poo people about it, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, and every one of us has a vice that we spend money on that everybody else thinks is crazy, but we find 100% value in that thing. And I don't know, I guess it's me, because it's not that I'm filthy rich, but I plan for these things, right? Mm-hmm. Also, my phone is a business expense. So the way I run a business, it's never my money. My money is what I pay myself every year that the government makes me pay myself. If they didn't make me pay myself, I wouldn't pay myself a dime. Right. But now, you know, US laws are stands where I have to pay myself a minimum wage. So, but from the business standpoint, to over the course of a year, or even if I were to be, you know, friendly to it and give it to amortize $150 over 2 years is a laugh. So it's not that big a deal. I'm not paying for it. My customers are paying for it.
Well, you know, that is definitely true. But I mean, as I said, it's more people this year than I think previous years who are saying, okay, this is too much. Which is probably the difference if you, I mean, if you talk about whiskey, it's probably the difference between, I don't know, $100 a bottle and $500 a bottle. There is for, I think for everybody, there is a price where you say, okay, this is not worth it for me anymore. And I think the iPhone has, for at least some people, reached that price. And other people, I mean, yeah, like you, they say, okay, what's another $150? It's not $150. It's another $150 that you have to spend more the $1,000 that you're already spending. So you have to keep that in mind.
But you know, nobody's ever going to really, I mean, not nobody, I shouldn't say that. Majority of the people who are spending the money now, even on the 8 and even last year on the 7 Plus, the majority of the people that went into the upgrade program never will ever get to the price of the real phone anyway, because as soon as they come out with the next, they're going to swap it anyway. So you only pay for half anyway. You know what I'm saying? Like for me, my 7 Plus only cost me $450 because I swapped it at month 12.
It's still, I mean, you still paid more than before, and this more makes a difference for some people, and for others it doesn't. But I mean, just judging by how many people, even in, last year at this point, or in September, when we were talking, I think most of us said, okay, we're going to buy the 7. This is pretty clear that we're going to do that.
Oh, yeah.
This year, it is a different story.
Yeah. I got another question, though. I don't know what it turned out for you guys, but my monthly went up by $2. I had to double check it. I thought it was wrong.
I think over here it's quite a bit more. I think it's like $10.
$24. I don't know what math you go to, but $2 a month over years, $24.
Yeah, as I said, in our case, at least in Germany, it's definitely not that. I mean, the phone is even more expensive than in the US, even if you take taxes and everything into account.
I was going to say, that's not even a bowl of ramen for me. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's why I was a little more taken aback when I was actually going through the ordering process, that the perceived amount that I was going to end up paying was lower than I even thought it was going to be, because I swear my monthly payment only moved up by $2.
I've got to take issue with a couple of things there, because there's the first comment in here is that it's down to a personal choice, says Hobbs. And Bob says views about price and value are inevitably subjective. So isn't this a bit of a fruitless discussion? No, it's not.
Yes.
No, it's not. Because I have
so. I say it all the time.
I have an opinion. I've just sat quietly for you. I've got an opinion about what I think Apple is doing over the next few months that I think is wrong. And it ties into things like bringing the 10 out at the same time as the 8. And I think it is a backdoor to increasing the base price of the iPhone, so that you will be paying this price the next iteration, and the 8 will drop off then. There won't be a dual phone next year. There won't be a 10 available as well as, or something like that. It'll just be the premium rate phone has just gone up 150 to 250 quid. And I think also, you know, Magic Man's saying, I've got £6 a month more extra to pay on it. And that's the way that they get you, is that they just add little bits on it. It's a little increment there, a little bit. Oh, I'm getting loads more from a £6 a month. And then you look back, and over the last 2 years, you've paid 25 quid extra a month. And that's the way that people work in the modern era. And I don't like it. I really don't like it. In an age of technology where things over a long period of time have got smaller and cheaper, we are now in an age where things are getting more and more expensive. And yet people's salaries are declining. People's salaries against index-linked indicators for inflation are declining, and declining markedly in some industries. And yet... Mm-hmm. Everyone seems to find a way to charge a bit more for us. Business is raking it in and not distributing it back to the public. That's the way that an economy works, is a turnover and a flow of cash in and out. And it's all going one way at the moment. And that's the bigger discussion in all of this stuff with the pricing on stuff. And I also think as well that Angela Arendt's influence on the business and taking towards a fashion approach, I don't think it's going to work. Because if you look at Burberry now, I tweeted out their share price for the last 5 years. They are plummeted in the last 5 years because they're no longer fashionable and high
because
price.
She left.
No, it's not because she left. They would still be no longer fashionable. She got out at exactly the right time, because everyone was just like, all the chaps were wearing Burberry, and then that's it. That's when it died. And I think you've got to be careful. You don't get a sustainable business from a fashion-based approach to things. And I think there is a valuable discussion in that. I disagree entirely.
No, you're right. You're right about that. And one thing that I would definitely say, that the one golden egg might possibly be the 8 sales were slow, as or at least everybody says so. We really won't know until they actually report it. But everyone claims that the 8 sales are slow. And a lot of the 8 sales were slow because people were waiting for the 10. Now that the 10 is here, if the 10 sales are slow, you don't have to worry about the price changing, because they'll be like, we threw that ball, it was intercepted, that was really stupid, let's go back to the way things were. And they could do it without embarrassing themselves if we don't beat them up for it. If the media beats them up for it, then they're not going to want to come down and go, why should we go through the media heat? We just leave it and we're still making the same amount of money because the price went up. So I think we can have a big play in it. And part of the reason why they spit a phone every year with now ever decreasing feature increase is we did that too. We kept, hey, oh, I need a new phone. I need something else. Apple, when are you going to make something better? Apple, when are you going to make something better? Yeah. So they kind of got stuck in a race they didn't want to be in. And now we're seeing the results of that race and we're mad at it, but we kind of created it.
Oh, I don't disagree with that. There's a certain truth in all of that as well as, Hobbs is agreeing with me that there is a valuable discussion to be had about the pricing and the approach of Apple. So, and the dollar exchange rate is another one that's a bit of a that Ruata has made a comment on, which is a really good point.
That's for the pound. I think that's true, but not for the euro. The euro actually is better than it was a couple of months or even a year ago. We're but the right. price has increased.
I think we're all right at the minute, aren't we, against the dollar?
Well, a lot of that price difference for you guys had to do with the Voldemort word of leaving the euro, right?
Yeah.
True, I mean, part of that was created by people in the party that said, hey, let's leave, right?
We're not doing politics. Yeah. Let's move on.
I mean,
did that affect the price of your iPhone? That's the basic question. This is a yes or no answer. You don't have to get into
it. Yeah, no, it definitely did. There's no question. But we're not getting into whether we should leave Europe or not.
When Apple announced the pricing, I did a calculation, and at that point, with taxes and an exchange rate, a generous rounded up exchange rate, we were at about 1,000 euros. And Apple is selling it for, I think, 150 or 200 more. So,
okay, I think this is a dumb difference. Point, but I'm asking it anyway, because I don't care if you think it's a dumb point. I always judge the poo-pooing based on the fact that if you dug into a cushion tomorrow and you found the extra $500, and I use the amount that you find as half of the actual price, not the actual price, would you buy it then?
No. I've got the money to buy it. That's not an issue. But there was a comment in here that said, Glenn, I think, said it in the chat room, it's more expensive than the MacBook Pro I bought 18 months ago.
My friend said the same thing.
Yeah.
He said that the 10 is the same price as a MacBook that he was looking at.
Yeah, and someone also said it's not about that. It's the principle of it, the fact that it shouldn't be. And I totally get that the iPhone, people saying the iPhone is a computer, it's not a phone. I totally get that.
True that.
It is a very powerful computer. I do not disagree. But I'm sorry, it doesn't have the screen interface to start charging it at the same rate as MacBook Pros. It's, I don't mind paying more for my iPads, because my iPad, my 12-inch iPad Pro, I really do feel that's more in the line of a computer because of the fact it's got so much more functionality than my phone. And the other reason that I had in my head as well, Doc, is plain and simple, what do I use my phone for? Making phone calls, sending
text, that's what I was
checking
gonna
social
ask you.
Media. And in the long run, regardless of what my feelings are about Apple, in the long run, that's all I do with my phone. I've played with ARKit, but it is playing. It's not. It's gimmicky. It's nothing more than that.
Yeah.
So, you know, in my head, I can't justify it either. There.
And I was going to ask you that exact same question, because to me, all right, for me, part of the biggest influx of my business has to do with my brand. My personal brand is different from most people because I did radio and TV for years here. So, like, a lot of people know me. What keeps me in the conversation is that constant flow of social media upgrading, you know, the podcasting, the doing public appearances, the doing, you know, the wedding officiating and stuff like that. Part of the reason why people that met during my era of the radio, or people that met during my era of sending them the lovey-dovey shout outs and they asked me to come and be their officiant for their wedding and then the MC for their wedding, or to be their, official for their, renewing of the vows and stuff. A lot of that has to do with things that I created in the 80s, 90s, and 2000, during my time on radio. So to me, this tool is more than just the phone. Like, I can get every dime of my money back before December. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I get mad when people poo-poo it. It's like if you're an employee somewhere and you go to somebody else's job and this is what you do with your phone, yeah, it's probably a stupid idea. But when you're using it from a business expense, it's just a tool to me, just like, an AR-7. And God, they made a new AR-7. Just buying another tool.
But Doc, I mean, the point there is as well. I mean, yes, you can probably get that money back. That's not the point. I mean, I can do the same thing. Ewan can do the same thing. But it is still a bigger business expense. So it takes you, even if it's, a day longer to get that back. And you could spend that money for your business for something else as well. The cost is still higher. That's the fact.
No. It's not.
It's cost and price are different, though.
But should we move on?
I did public appearances, but nobody ever recognizes me.
Well, you do public appearances, Greeny.
Yeah.
At the courthouse doesn't count.
were you recognised with adulation down at the local French market when you were buying your baguette?
My stuff, yeah. I think, it's really nice, actually. I went down in the morning. It's my thing. I go down and have a cup of coffee and gouas, I think they call them, cigarette on the bench, and it's lovely. But that is beside the point. The point I wanted to interject with is, if you compare the two sides of Apple's market, which is the Mac and the iPhone, let's lump the iPhone with the iPad. The Mac is only sort of updated once every few years. Well, if you look at sort of Mac Pro, once every 6 years or something like that. And Apple have found themselves, I think, buoyed by people like Samsung and the other chaps, that found themselves in a bit of a corner, that they're forced to release new phones based on competition rather than features. So the iPhone 10 is all very good, but is there any real need for it? I think most people are thinking, well, actually, I'm quite happy with my iPhone 6 or my iPhone 7, and I'm quite happy with that for years. And the iPhone 8, it seems like a great phone, but it doesn't seem a fat lot of difference, really, between the two. So I think Apple have sort of, well, it's the competition that's forced them into a corner at this rather ridiculous release date. And I don't think it's very good for manufacturing and the eco side of things either.
Where does your old phone go? Good point.
I think people are rebelling and saying, Christ, do I need a new iPhone this year? It is getting a bit ridiculous. And from a function point of view, and I totally agree with you, I mean, what do we use our iPhones for? It's like you can check your texts and your emails and make a phone call and synchronize your calendar and stuff like that.
I think I've just pissed off Magic Man in the chat room because he's put down, it's a phone, email, internet, camera, sat-nav, calc, diary, contacts, notebook, all in your pocket. And I said, all of those things were on the N95, mate.
It's true, but they were.
And all of them fit into the iPhone SE, says Windrider. Yeah. Gitans, says Bob Beach, and Patrice says, do you mean Gauloises? But Gitans used to be, because they used to sponsor a racing team. The Ligier team was sponsored by Gitans. So are they still available out there?
Mm-hmm.
There you go, Gitan. There we go. It's true. I knew Gitan was a cigarette. Not that I smoke. Can you still get Camel out
there?
Neither
do I.
Well, unfortunately, the old European Union things, and so it's difficult to know what you're buying anymore. They're all sort of horrible, murky, green packets. And I think it's a disgrace in some ways because, I mean, all of that, the iconic branding has been lost. So Gouillard's as well. I mean, well, it was beautiful, that blue and white packet, wasn't
well,
it?
We used to have a Toulouse-Lautrec picture on the front, didn't you? On,
yeah, that's right. Yeah, work of art.
And the camel on camels, of course, was lovely. This is a great story. I absolutely adore this story. Apple versus Samsung lawsuit is dragging into its 8th year, and they're about to start a retrial for next May. The Apple iPhone 3GS versus the Galaxy S i9000 has been going on for 8 years. It's been provided over by Lucy Co. And she's been at it since the start, since April 2011. The poor woman, she's got to be pulling her hair out.
She created her own mess, by the way.
$399 million award for Samsung design patent infringement, whether it should stand or not. So this is even an appeal. It's still going on. 3GS versus Galaxy S i9000. It's hilarious. She's going to retire and they're going to have to put a new judge in and have another retrial, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yep. Well, it's funny, though, because she kind of set herself up back when it happened because of the way she kind of like tried to lower the thing, and then it got politic down even lower. So she set herself up back in there. I remember all, you know, when you listen to Mac OS Ken, this was a conversation every day for the longest time. And at the time when Ken used to talk about it, I was still gainfully employed at Apple. That's how old this sucker is.
Cool.
Heck, we've been doing BTN together for almost 4 years.
The Mac Show's been going for 7 years.
Yeah, almost so 8,
almost
right?
As long.
Yeah.
So it's funny. Yeah.
I'm trying to stop the bloody thing ringing.
It's all right, mate. If you've got a call, you have to take it. It's fine.
Why are we still using the default iPhone 1 ring?
The thing that bothers me is you look at the charges and the court time and the costs that go along with this and how they're going to be derived and who's going to pay for them. They're probably not far off $399 million in lawyers' fees already. And they've probably and now because it's a patent case, they can't not see it through. So they've got to carry on. And it's just like you could see them wasting $2 billion. I mean, they might have spent $1 billion defending this already with what's his face on.
Yeah,
can I make a serious comment?
Go on, yeah. I was serious.
Listen,
but
people. This is why the iPhone went up by $150. Blame Samsung.
Because Apple is not getting their $399 billion.
Samsung, if you would pay your freaking tab, Apple would make the phone $899 for everybody.
See, I tweeted out this morning to people, now sit down and think, what could you have done with $1,350? And Apple are going to win, and they're going to get that. They're going to get $399 million in. They're going to put out $1.5 billion in legal fees. And I'm going to sit there and go, now then, Apple, sit down and think, what could you have done with $1.5 billion in legal fees?
Yep. Yeah, I think other companies would have settled this already. I think this is more about political stuff than anything else.
Oh, it's a great story. It reminds me of like a 1960s Western where they've all beaten each other up and they've completely wrecked the bar and there's nothing left and they're still fighting regardless.
Yep.
Same thing.
Hey, you know what you just made me think of in a little bit? I just realized that I'm sitting on a 12-inch iPad Pro.
Thank God you finished that sentence.
I put the strategic pause in it. No. Anyway, I'm sitting on an iPad 12-inch iPad Pro, and December, when it comes back through, will be, I've had that iPad Pro for 2 years now.
So you really love that quite dearly, and you take it very deep by the sounds of it.
I don't understand what happened.
When it comes back through. Christ, it's just like I'm sitting on 12 inches and it's just come back through.
It's coming out in December.
It's coming out in December, yeah.
I wonder if it'll still work.
When December rolls around, it would make that I've had that iPad for 2 years. And at the time, before this iPad, I was just switching the iPad every year when the next model came out, you know?
Yeah.
But there's nothing iPad-y that popped my socks in the last, two cycles that said I need to buy a new one, although I did, you know, vacillate a little bit on possibly going down to the smaller one just because it's a little
Vacillate.
Now you're going down on a smaller one.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Glad we saw that.
Yeah, because the other one was too big. But it was I didn't see the value in that, so I left it alone. But it's kind of funny. So yeah, I can see when you think about it that way, like there will be a point where the feature upgrade will not marry the want to have, you know, the next thing no matter what. And I think a lot of people are in that. Those who are like, I'm sticking with my 7, the people that said that, or even last year, the people that said I'm sticking with my 6 Plus and they're very happy is because they finally hit their feature brick wall. And, you know, yeah, the new Face ID stuff is great, which would just be fun. I don't really care much about AR kit, although the stuff that I have played with so far for measuring, you know, lumber when I go to the lumber yard or whatever, it's accurate. It's amazingly accurate. That AR ruler thing that Adam put us on. Mm-hmm. You know, when I go to pick a table slab up or something and I point it and it gives me the measurements, it's pretty freaking accurate. So, you know, I think for the people that are going to be able to use it, like the contractors, you know, the surveyor types and people who will use it and it will work for them, it'll be a worthy tool. But, you know, if you're just going to use it to play Pokemon Go, that's a little bit insane.
That's very true, Doc. Yeah.
You're laughing at measuring lumber now? Is that where we're at?
No, I'm laughing at your worthy tool.
Jesus Christ.
For those of you that want to write in, complain about juvenile, puerile humor, bollocks. Keep it to yourself. I'm not interested. That was the best bit of podcasting I've ever done, I think, right there.
Crazy boys.
I can't even remember what we're talking about. No, it's gone.
I think the lawsuit.
12 inches. There we go.
We're talking about the security of the face capture because you have to give Apple permission to use your image when you sign up for the face capturing.
There is a story, actually. A developer is warned about granting iPhone camera permissions allows apps to secretly capture you. So once you give the FaceTime camera over, you've lost control of what it will and won't take.
Yep. It's pretty accurate. I mean, it can upload any picture that you have on your phone. It can take pictures. I think audio is separate, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, but it just because your camera and microphone are separate questions, aren't they?
But
there was a bit of me who was sitting thinking, I can't see a way around stopping that either because you've got to give it permission to capture, and if the thing's running in the background, then
I mean, I would say there is probably a way for Apple to do that because they could detect whether the camera is used and it's shown somewhere on screen, even if it's a small little picture somewhere. Or whether it's simply used in the background while the app is shown something else. Maybe there are use cases where that doesn't work that I can't imagine, but I think for most apps, if it really needs the camera, then the user is taking a picture, I don't know, a QR code or whatever.
But how do you take that away in background mode? You can't.
No, this is happening
right
now. You
say make a light content. Like
the app has to be active. So it cannot access it if the app is in the background.
Yeah, there you go. That's an easy software fix. As soon as you swipe away from the app, then the camera gets turned off.
That already happens. No, if you basically, I don't know, you're using Facebook and Facebook in the background while you're just checking your stream could take pictures of you or video or whatever and send it somewhere without you knowing that they're doing that.
And it can
That's
do
the
that.
Point. So no. The active app can do that. But as I said, this should be fixable.
Because don't forget, your active app can pass you to other applications and then you come back to the active app. So it's actually the active app that's controlling Safari input or controlling tweet input, isn't it? So if you put a reference in, say, Slack that mm-hmm. sends you to a web page, you can go to Safari or Mail can send you to Safari, but you're still technically in Mail. Because you've got the back left to Mail thing. So you could be in an app that uses a camera that sends you to a third-party app, but it's not in the background because it's the app that's sending you.
If it's really sending you to the other app, it wouldn't work. But with the web view, basically the slide over thing with the mini Safari, you could call it, the web view, there this would be the case. So you could open the web page in a integrated web view and in the background send whatever, pictures, images, whatever you want to do.
Okay, so, but let's this is actually a good discussion because I kind of think about this. I like his suggestions of, you know, just basically like there's the back to Safari button, have a little icon next to that that lets you know the camera is live, or a little, you know, the idea of putting LEDs on it that kind of show you whether it's on or not. That might be a little irking, but I can see where that would happen too. But I guess the thing you have to think about, your primary applications, your big company applications, they're not going to do nothing that's stupid because the lawsuits wouldn't be worth it. It's the small developers who might, you know, be trying to do something. So when you try to get these apps, and 9 times out of 10, the apps that create all the problems on a person's phone have to do with things like cheat at Tsum Tsum, get 3,000 coins for free. So you download some stupid app thinking you're going to cheat at Tsum Tsum, and then that app now has access to your mic and your camera and all this other weird stuff. The real apps that do real things for most of your real developers, you normally don't have to worry about these things. No. So
I just
don't download suspicious apps.
I can imagine, for example, a game where, I don't know, there is an AR game, for example, where you are asked to give it access to your camera. It makes sense for an AR game, so you do that.
Yes,
but exactly. Instead of just using it for the AR part, it actually is uploading pictures and video of you to their servers because they can. It's a malicious app. Don't get me wrong, but they could do that and the user wouldn't notice. It's not a cheat thing or anything. It's just a game.
No, I mean, got that. But do you think that GameLoft, Mobile Age, Ambrosia, Dinoforce, PopCap, any of those guys are going to be dumb enough to do that and kill their billion-dollar industry? No. So no, don't none, download none the big games people. By I mean, trees. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, Facebook, for example, has done some dumb shit. So I wouldn't put it past them to do that.
Yeah.
And just to be really straightforward about it, Facebook and Google kind of are doing that already. I mean, if you allow them, Google, I think, is uploading all your pictures to their servers.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
it's not technically that this is news. It already happens.
Yeah, it already happens. There was a related story. I don't know whether you wanted to talk about that, Ewan, that I think someone said that you can basically the machine learning features that Apple has built into iOS 11 could be used to analyze your pictures in the background and, I don't know where you're going and what you're doing.
Yeah, yeah. Is that the Felix Krauss one?
Yeah, I think that's the one. Which, I mean, same situation. If you give an app access to your camera, then they can already do that, and Google and so on are already doing that. So this is even, and Google is doing that on their server. So it's not even on device.
And it's not anonymous if it's your pictures.
No, exactly, and that's the point. It's not supposed to be anonymous. Basically, someone could detect where you're living and what you're doing and what you like. It could, I don't know, serve you ads or whatever with that information.
But that's quite a relatively easy thing to do anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, sure. That's why this, from my perspective, is also a non-story, because nobody needs machine learning on iOS 11 to do that. You could just upload all the pictures and just do it yourself.
I've sort of lost the point of the story of it. I mean, everybody knows where we live. I mean, in the UK, all of our information is stored on the voting register anyway. And so what's your point?
Well, the point is that someone was complaining, or people were complaining about Apple allowing machine learning apps to basically stalk you. And my point is, well, any app that wants to do that can do that without machine learning.
Yes.
Yeah, I go with that, yeah.
But it's still about apps stalking you.
Yeah.
And getting far more out of you than going down to your local library and looking at the electoral register, mate. So,
yes.
I wouldn't mind an app stalking you. It'd be rather nice, shouldn't it?
It's really funny, like, the amount of stuff that people are worried about them getting from the phone. But I mean, I understand where Greeny was going, because I always say, well, then, like, kind of don't do anything that's super, super bad. Like, the most illegal thing they're going to find on my phone is probably Cuban cigars. And I would have said, you know, the slightly Hawaii's gross domestic product, but now I got a card for that. So even that's not illegal. You can see all my pictures, yeah. You know, like I don't really get it, but.
And do you know the easiest way to get to that information? Create a social network and get people on it.
Yeah, it's faster because people are dumb enough to put the people that you're actually trying to catch, 9 times out of 10 are dumb enough to post the stuff they aren't supposed to catch. I have laughed every day when I see the police caught this person because they posted a picture on social media, you know, or something stupid like that. But in the same token, what's not getting the same amount of press is that 7,000 devices FBI tried to get into, and 7,000 times Apple's like, nope. And then they're still fighting about it. But that story went away. But the story of, they can see everything you're doing with your camera gets like all the traction.
So the key part of it is whether it's identifiable and whether you give your tacit permission in order to do it, though. And pictures are more identifiable of a person than their GPS location that's nondescript and not even linked to an IMEI number or something like that.
Yeah.
I've had this with companies that do drug and alcohol testing. They say, so you have to declare the drugs that you're on. And I'm kind of, okay, look, if I do a test and you want me to declare the drugs I'm on before I do the test, then I'm fine with that, because that's at the point of contact, I'll do it. And they're saying, well, no, so what you have to do now is you have to declare beforehand all the drugs that you're on to the person that's booked you for your contract. And then if we need to use that, we've got it already. And I'm like, no, I'll disclose that to the medical firm that does the testing with me, and they'll do my B sample test and say, okay, that's what you said you had, so therefore there's no problem. But if I start telling up front to a contracts manager what medicines I'm on, I'm sorry, that's got a lot of repercussions for things like, well, actually, should we be hiring this guy? I mean, look at him, he's on this medication and he's 50 years old. And I mean, I'm not on a heart drug or anything like that, but suppose I was, that would compromise my drug and alcohol test. That is then them going, well, we're making a decision that you're not fit to work for us, or that we don't want you because of the drugs that you take. And that's not right. And I don't.
That's 100% true.
And that's what the problem is. It's whether you're giving information away willingly or not. And I know that there's a payoff with things like Facebook where you say, yes, I've signed up for it, therefore you've got all my stuff and that's fine. And I had a thing came through today. I ordered something and it said, do you want us to send your PayPal receipt to Messenger? Oh, that'd be kind of cool. Yeah, send it to Messenger. So it sent it to Messenger. But the message that came up in Messenger was that you'd given Messenger access to your PayPal information. No. That's not what I actually did. The way it read, it came out as Facebook and PayPal were now talking to each other. And that's not what I said yes to. I said yes to you sending me a receipt. Steady on. So there's an awful lot of playing with words. There's an awful lot of intent that doesn't get shown properly. And that's what bothers me with a lot of these apps. And yes, they're reputable apps as well that are doing it, not just the nefarious ones, Doc.
Yeah.
Bothers me a little bit.
I think that the law should be adjusted into a situation where it's such that when they are going to collect any type of data whatsoever, they have to say exactly what it is and what they're going to use it for and put it up front and not in legalese. It needs to be like caveman dumb. It needs to be, the sentence should be read that somebody that lives on a goat farm like Paul would know exactly what you're talking about. So we're going to collect every image you take. We're going to scan it for, you know, hue, saturation, luminance, and values. We're going to scan it for identifiable objects so that, you know, keyword searches work. And we're going to scan it for our own personal collection so we can sell it to advertisers. Do you agree? That should be what has to be put up in none of this weird legalese stuff. Like, they just busted here in the U.S. like a week ago. People started reading contracts, and a lot of the cell phone providers and other people who have fallen prey to previous class action lawsuits, they've added language inside their acceptance agreement that basically says you can't sue them after you accept this agreement. And then not a people found it. Everyone's like, wait, you've been signing that for like 2 years. You got to take that out. And then they're fighting to keep it in. You know, and it's kind of like those things shouldn't be hidden on page 87 of a contract. It should be in black and white, screaming, blinking, maybe even with a voice read thing to you. You know, like there's a speaker in your hand, damn it. Read it out loud, the dumb stuff you're going to do with my data. And let me decide from them. Be clean and plain as day.
Yeah. Well, they agree.
I think that's a simplistic view, though, Doc, in terms of the way that people write contracts and require information. And I think the lawyers themselves would drive buses through the sheer act of making that act of Parliament to make that happen. That's the trouble.
Yeah, and that's what's going on here.
No, right, the new European privacy rules are quite similar to that. I think, I mean, you have to definitely state what you're going to collect and what you're going to use it for and on all of that. And as far as I remember, it is supposedly, it has to be readable, understandable by the user. So not by a lawyer, but by the user who is basically agreeing to those terms.
But what you understand and what other people understand is a different question. That's the trouble.
I think that's the hard part about these rules.
Well, at some point, though, I do think that, and this is just me because I have a personal pet peeve with people in my country making themselves dumber and dumber and dumber by the minute unnecessarily because there's a certain laziness factor that kicks in. I think part of it, yes, it's on them to speak normal legalese and things like that. But if these cyber contracts have become part of our everyday society with your new car and your cell phone and your house and, you know, your credit cards and all of that, then you should be politicking to your politicians to make how to read a contract as a standard course. You should add to the education of the people and not always blaming on them that they didn't tell you up straight. Like some of that stuff is on yourself. And everyone says, hey, would you please read the contract? Nobody reads EULAs, E-U-L-A's, right? Mm-hmm. Almost nobody reads them. You got a couple of nerds who do it for us and then post it on the various sites like Mike Rumors. But I'm amazed at how many people don't read their EULAs. And then, you know, they ask questions like, hey, I just got this Windows 10 disk. Can I put it on more than one computer? And I'm like, it's written on the very second paragraph. You can put it on two computers. Well, I didn't read that. You know, like, I, you know, that comes up all the time. So part of it is on us, too. And we've become so lazy at just saying yes without reading that all of us probably need to do better about actually reading these things.
Society's
but they also they need to be better about telling the truth in these things. So it's a double, it's a two thing. You know, it's not a just one person's an a-hole and the rest of us are just getting victimized because we were given the opportunity to read it. We just choose not to. So somewhere we got to balance it out. Some of it is on us.
Yeah.
I got told off the other day, society is losing the plot as far as intelligence is concerned. Simple, basic facts are losing it. I spoke to someone the other day and I made a reference to a Chin tradition and they were kind of like, well, that's a bit racist. Who are you talking about? I'm like, Chinese. And they went, well, that's racist. You can't call them Chins. I said, that's where the name Chinese comes from. It's the Chin dynasty. What? What are you on? So I lose faith in intelligent people sometimes. I really do.
Yeah, it's so true because people would definitely get bent out of whack, and then you gotta like ask them, have you ever heard of a Burmese XYZ? And they'd be like, yeah, well, that's the same thing.
The iPhone, the watch OS is going to go to 4.1. Golden Master's been released, so you're probably going to get this in the next week, 10 days. It says a lot of issues have been fixed, improvements and bug fixes. Guillaume Rambo has let this one out. Stream music on Apple Watch Series 3, listen to live radio Beats 1, etc. Use Siri to find sync fitness data. There wasn't anything listed there about battery issues, and everyone's been going on about battery issues, and I've been going, oh, no, it's okay, it's fine. My watch is doing really, really well. I can't notice a difference. But I have, because 2 weeks ago, I went away and stayed away overnight, and I didn't take a charger with me for my phone, for my watch, because I just thought, well, there's no point, because I'm only away overnight, so it'll do. I can switch it off during the night and switch it back on in the morning. And after 23 hours, it had lost charge completely. Which is the first time I've really noticed that for some reason battery life sucks on it, and I don't know why. Someone did come out with a tweet the other day that suggested that where's it gone I need to find it. I'm filling time here desperately looking for... Here we go. I wonder if it's to do... This is Bennett 12 on Twitter. He said, I wonder if it's to do with the resting heart rate feature that's not in the Series 0. So the 1 to 3 may have a bigger battery drain as a result. I thought that was a good shout.
Yeah, that could actually be.
That's why it's the Series 1 to 3s are losing out badly in terms of... in terms of battery, but doesn't look like you're going to get a battery fix in OS 4.1. And the third generation iPads, if you've got one of these, then it hasn't updated yet. Here we go. It's coming over. Don't worry. It will go back to dock instead. If you've got one, oh, that's green keyboard, look. if you've got an iPad third generation, I'll edit, don't worry, then it's going to be listed as obsolete this month, I'm afraid. It's done and dusted, except in California and Turkey, where there's legislative requirements that say that they can't make it obsolete yet.
What a random list. California and Turkey.
Yeah, because the Californo-Turkey Pact of 1958 means that they can't render it. But I have one of these. Bryony uses it regularly, except she's put a crack in it now, so... but it will be obsolete soon. I think it's quite good that they've left that, because, I mean, that is an old iPad. That's got to be 5+ years.
Yeah, how old is that? Third generation?
I'm quite impressed with that.
Should be 2012?
Yep.
2010 was the first one, so...
Yep.
Yeah, 5 years.
What's funny is my second gen is still banging away, and it still gets used every day by the 8-year-old monster. it's so funny because, you know... We always talk about build quality and things like that. And then, you know, for the price and for what it was worth at the time, you know, it even got touted as expensive back then. But look, that thing is still banging on. How many years is that since the second generation? Like 6 or 7?
Well, the last version that fits on the iPad 3 that I've got is OS 9. It won't go any higher than 9.3 something or other.
That is crazy. So actually, in order to be considered obsolete, it has to hit its fifth year. So this one was released in March 2012. So it's 5 years old. Yeah, okay.
I love that as well. It's a really nice iPad. It's reminiscent of the first one, but it's different enough to not be clunky and horrible like the first one. But I still have an iPad 1, so somewhere. I mean, Dad's got an iPad 1, 16 gig. It was massive.
At the time, isn't that funny when I think about it?
And he's probably used it 16 times since my mum bought it for him.
The fourth generation iPad should also be obsolete pretty soon. Wasn't that the year where they released the 3 at the beginning of the year and then the 4 pretty much 6 months later?
That's right.
They had October and April.
Yeah.
It was 2 in a year. That's right. Yeah, spot on. Well spotted. It might be the 4 that's coming out. Because didn't they did one and they did one... 2, and when was the next, was there an Air between 2 and 3?
No, the Air is after the, four, I think.
Oh, right, okay. Well, we'll have to check that out. That's interesting. This podcast and all these is brought to you by UK2. They're brilliant. They look after us. Please, 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 will you go and look after them? Because we'd be lost without them, plain and simple. We do appreciate it. They appreciate the time that you've got and given to us. And... if you can support them, it would be great. Please also support Hoya. Their new Uniku system is coming out. There'll be machines hitting the stores after Christmas. You can go and get your eyes and face measured and get custom fit glasses, bespoke glasses with perfectly positioned lenses in front of your face. And Hoya will provide that for you. I'm hoping I've got mine by then, but I think they've got a problem with my nose. So I need to go get measured again and put Rex in. But... And if you remember, we've got next week we'll start the last competition for a Spider 5 Express. Alex Velos, if you're listening, you need to write in with your details of your address. Otherwise, I'm afraid you're not a listener, and therefore you will not be eligible for the prize. And we'll pick another person just like we did before. Shame. I want to give a shout as well to Activate Computing, who are fitting an alarm for me here on Monday. And that's GB Redneck in the Slack room and chat room. That's his business. If you want to know anything about home automation, then get in touch with him on Twitter at GB Redneck or in our Slack room. And he's coming up on Monday to fit that alarm. It's kind of cool. It's a completely isolated system. It's going to put a strobe light in here that's going to give you an epileptic fit if you break in, and it's going to make a high-pitched sound come out of my Sonos speakers that will drive you mad and you'll have to leave. It's brilliant.
I spent a few nights with Ewan, and Ewan and his wife very kind put me up in the spare room. Have I had this story before? I can't remember. Anyway, it's worth retelling. And everything in Ewan's house is all sort of automated, everything pretty much. You know, turn the lights on in the lounge and et cetera. And I went to bed and I was saying, turn the light off. I tried this a few times. Turn the light off. Turn the light off.
Oh, the hall light, yeah.
No, this is in the bedroom. And I said, Ewan, I can't turn the light. I said, he said, turn the switch. There's a switch there. And so I figured it out.
It wasn't on the system, yeah.
Yeah, that could happen to me at my house as well.
Will was struggling with the trigger word as well, because he didn't say the Gertrude word to get her to work. So it didn't happen. We're also now, it's coming up to the first of the month. Thank you very much to those people who do subscribe to us via Patreon. We do appreciate it. You can now subscribe through PayPal, I'm pleased to announce. So all you got to do is go to britishtechnetwork.com/subscriptions. And on there, you can become a bronze, silver or gold subscriber. And here's the best bit, because if you are a subscriber, we have got tons of stuff coming up. Righty's hatching a little plan that we're going to tell you about next week. And also, we've got a supplier of some software who wants to give a piece of that software to all of our subscribers. So you're all going to get a free piece of software to go with your iPhone if you're a gold, silver or bronze subscriber. We're also going to do feature shows for you. We're going to do some stuff that no one else can get as well as. And if you're over $5, it's $5, $10 and $20 in the gold, silver and bronze. And if you're over $5 in Patreon, you'll also get it as being a subscriber and all the additional content as well. So please throw us a donation through via Patreon or via britishtechnetwork.com/subscriptions. And you will be supporting a network that loves your support and provides all of this free of charge, and we don't get paid for it at all. It all goes back into Kyle doing the news show and that kind of stuff. On which note, Kyle is not doing the news show next week, and the reason being, he's actually calling the game at the NBA stuff, at the All-Stars game or whatever it is, in Los Angeles. He'll be there.
Wow.
If you're in LA, you can find Kyle Swagger. You can buy him a beer. There we go. And he'll be calling the NBA game there, so...
Tell me, Ewan, which voice are you going to replace him with just for a few days?
So based on the fact that Greeny has had a couple of nights sticking at my place, he feels the need to pay me back. So Greeny is going to be doing Monday and Tuesday's news show. I have no idea what's going to happen. But
it's going to be awesome.
It's going to be awesome. Incredible. Greeny will be doing Monday and Tuesday's news show instead of Kyle. And then I'm going to pick up Wednesday, Thursday, Friday if Greeny doesn't want to carry on. So, if he wants to do the full week, then he's welcome to it.
I'd love to, except obviously if the complaints come in too rapidly.
I just love the naivety of the fact that you said to me, yeah, no problem, I'll record it Sunday morning. It's like, it's no good because the news is all gone by then. It's no point. There's nothing worth having. There was a couple of times. So for 3 years, I got up at 5 o'clock in the morning and I published it by 8 and then I went to work. And I did that for 3 years every single Friday, Monday to Friday. And I had no clue looking back how I actually managed to do it. It was just ridiculous. But there was a few times where I knew I wasn't going to be able to do it in the morning. So I'd do it the night before and I'd record it at like 10 p.m. the night before and get ready to push it out the following morning. It'd all be uploaded, ready to go. All I had to do was click publish. And I'd wake up the next morning and the news had completely changed overnight because America had still not gone to sleep. And it's just a waste of time. Kyle is easily the best person to do the news show because by the time he's got up, America's finished what it's doing. And then he can do it in the afternoon and publish it, and it hits us for 9 a.m. here. So it's a hard job ahead of you there, Will. But
I will be rubbish compared to you or Kyle, but I'll give it my best shot.
I did one a couple of years ago to fill in for Kyle, and I found it really hard. I was really in the swing of doing it at one point, and the last time I did it, I found it really hard to do. So
Yeah, I've done that for I think 2 years as well. So it's tough.
What, every day?
Yeah, every day, Monday to Sunday even.
What do you do? What podcast?
I was basically on the side working for a web radio station, so I was doing the news.
Oh, right, okay.
Every day.
Bloody hell, I didn't know that. Well, you can take over on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday then, Patrice.
Well, I would actually be on vacation those days, so I could do it, but I don't think.
Germans on vacation.
It's a bridging week.
We have two public holidays next week, actually. Tuesday and Wednesday.
So you thought you'd have the week off? Tuesday.
I have actually the next 2 weeks off. So.
What? Where's your plane ticket to Hawaii?
I can step up to the mark, and I thought I'd make up most of the news, if that's all right. Record it all in one day.
I don't think Kyle does, but I wait with bated breath to see what is coming out on Monday and Tuesday, mate. I'm well done.
Yeah.
Time for the cool thing. Start us off, Doc.
Okay. sorry. I just can't stop laughing right now. My new cool thing is something that I kind of wish was more easy to do, but I found an app that did it. And I was just about to send out an inquiry to you guys to be like, what's out there that would do this? But I found a free program called Mac ID. And basically what it allows me to do is to roll up on my 5K over here and then just touch my phone and it opens up the Mac, rather than having to type in the lengthy password that I added after getting breached. After I had a security issue a little while back, I just went mad paranoid and I put super long programs on, passwords on all my computers. Mm-hmm. And that's a real pain in the butt on the computer. And I understand why a lot of people use either no or really stupidly easy passwords on their computer, because nowadays you get requested for that password dialogue a metric 100 million times a day as you're using a computer, and it's super irking that I had a long password. Of course the clipboard buffer won't hold it for very long. So I went to go find something that would allow me to just use Touch ID. And I know the new MacBooks have it, but when you have a desktop, you need a way. Mac ID does it. It's really cool. The app itself for the computer is free. To add it to your phone is $3.99, but right now there's a bundle with another program called Cookie made by the same developer. And all that does is super simple. It takes off the stupid, hey, we're going to be using cookies on this website notification that pops up in Safari.
Oh, I hate that. Mm-hmm. And it drives me batty. Back to the same page, and they haven't logged the cookie that you said okay to say you don't need to ask me again about logging the cookie.
Bastards. There you go. So that's what it takes care of. The first time when you need to say request, it does show up. After that, the application basically squelches that because it drives me insane.
Well, no, hang on a minute. Can we just stop and just not abandon logic here? What is the purpose of a cookie? It is to tell you the sites that you've been to. So that warning, if it's applied properly, should not be coming up a second time. The very frigging warning that's there to tell you that they're collecting cookies isn't checking the cookies.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. I hate it. It drives me batty. Yeah.
You shouldn't need to get an application for that.
You know, you shouldn't, but it's free application. It bundles with this other thing. You can take the first one and throw it out if you don't want it, but Cookie is worth it. But I got both of them for $4 in the Apple Store, and I really, really love walking up to my Macs and just, like, you know, tapping the phone, you know. Yeah. And, of course, you can do watch on certain computers, but it doesn't work on older ones. So, like, for instance, watch wouldn't work on my MacBook Pro, but the Mac ID does work. So, you know, now it's just a faster, easier way to open that computer. And I'm wondering if it'll get upgraded with the screen next week.
I've been using Mac ID for a couple of years now on multiple machines. It is, I probably picked it at some point. It is awesome. The biggest benefit the two biggest benefits over the just Apple Watch unlock feature is, one, the Apple watch unlock thing is not reliable at all. Sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes it disables itself. So it's just crazy. And with Mac ID, you can set it up that if you walk away from your Mac, it actually locks So this is really cool. So in the office, basically, because I mean, we shouldn't leave our devices unlocked. And I mean, I have coworkers who like to have some fun with machines, and I do the same thing with their machines if they don't lock. So my Mac ID, actually, when I walk away from my desk, it actually locks the machine automatically. And when I come back, it unlocks it. It's really, really awesome. And it's free. And I can tell you there will be a beta of a new version completely rewritten very soon. I saw it on Twitter. So this is really great.
Great. Oh, one more feature that it has, which might come in handy. I know it will come in handy for Patrice. It comes in handy for me. When I go to terminal and I need to use a super user command, I have a pre-descript amount of fingers to smash, and it automatically makes that work. So you don't have to put in the long password again for super user. You just touch the trackpad with your pre-described pattern. This finger just got crampy.
It's really awesome.
and it does it for you. That alone is also worth the $4.
And as your arthritis gets worse because of the contortions that you have to put your hands into, you can't get into your machine.
You saw that, right? My finger just got like stuck in a position that it's not used to getting it stuck in.
Good pick. Thank you. Patrice, what have you got for us?
My pick is more something for developers. It is an app called Paw. It is part of ZApp. You can also get it separately if you don't want to sign up for ZApp. And it is I would call it an API discovery / API usage tool. So if you're as a developer trying to use a REST API from, I don't know, Twitter, Amazon, Facebook, whatever, or your own services, Paw allows you to not only manage those APIs, that you can test them, try them out, discover the features of them, but it also allows you to do some scripting with them and so on. And it's really cool. The cool thing about Paw, I mean, you can just use Postman, which is an app for Chrome or something like that, or just command line. The really cool thing about Paw is it can actually import, I mean, it can import known APIs, so the Twitter API, I think, as I said, Amazon and so on. They have already basically created a documentation for it. So you just say, I want the Twitter API, and then you get basically pre-built all the functions and so on, and you can just say, okay, I want to, I don't know, post a tweet, and you just click on the thing and enter your credentials, and that's it. So this is a really, really cool, really easy, and just also well-designed tool for developers out there if you're working with any kind of REST APIs.
ZApp's great. I love ZApp. I have to say that I had bundle apathy when I first saw ZApp. It was like, oh, come on. And now I'm subscribed. I've got instantly in a week, I had six applications running that I got from ZApp.
Yeah.
Just brilliant. And clean my Mac 3 is worth the money on its own. So just incredible.
Yeah.
Cross two machines. Well worth the money.
Every week I'm finding, I mean, I've picked, I don't know how many on the show now. Every week I'm finding something new that's really cool.
Dude, they added Tech Soap last week. Tech Soap is the freaking bomb. You have copy and pasted text from somewhere just to find out that where you paste it, there's all kind of little hidden accoutrements in there. Normally copying something from Word and say pasting it into an application that doesn't support all of Word's little weird markup. Tech Soap will just scrap all of that crap with a single button press, and now you got a nice, clean, plain text that you can paste somewhere. I mean, like, I've been using Tech Soap for going on 15 years. The app has been out forever. It was one of the first apps I got when OS 10 became OS 10. And and then now that it's free inside ZApp, I mean, I was mind blown by that because Tech Soap is amazing.
I've got Rocket Typist. I've never used Text Expander or anything, but I've got Rocket Typist now for doing snippets. I love it. Mm-hmm. Use it for the first time today to advertise the Mac Show on Twitter. Love it. Just type in MAC in capitals. Blink. It's done.
Nice.
Good pick, Trace. Will, what do you have for us, sir?
Well, it's two applications, both slightly dull, but both slightly overlooked. So I've been going through the getting things done sort of workflow. David
Alan,
that's it, yes. And built into your Mac, and I've never really taken any notice, but if you combine the Notes application with the Reminders application, you can get a really, really fantastic workflow combined with them. And sometimes they're sort of they're there and you ignore them. I'd like to point out, and this isn't, well, it is a blatant promotion of Domacalysis. He's got a couple of tutorials on both of them. And they've really opened me up. And I've been working with Jim, and we're working on this trip, and we can share a note and both engage in it in the same time and post pictures and all sorts of stuff. And as I'm going through this change in my life, that's not, you know, I'm not, it doesn't matter.
That's good.
I'm finding it really useful to organize and schedule my life. So I think if you've got OS 10 or whatever, I think it came out in about 10.9. Notes is an overlooked and much undervalued. I might be just talking about myself at this point, but I'm loving it. I'm using it every single day. It's absolutely awesome.
Notes is great. I use it all the time, mate.
It's great, isn't it?
It's because it syncs as well. I'm started typing my book on Notes, and then I just paste it into a document when I've written a section. So then I can access it on any device.
Yeah, exactly. So I'll put a note in, and then I'll open my iPhone or whatever, and it's there virtually within seconds. Absolutely.
If you have High Sierra, they've added some updates to Notes, which makes it even more insane. And one that are you using High Sierra yet, Greeny?
Yes, I am. Yes.
Okay, so one of the cool things they just recently added to Notes, say there's a note that you and Jim are working on back and forth, and this is the master note right now. You can actually pin it so that it stays at the top. So every time you're adding a new note, it gets added to number two instead of to number one. And that way, the note that you need the most, the thing that you're currently working on, you may be fleshing it out. And that works for Ewan's case of, like, you know, writing here and there and then coming back to it. That's the best way to do it. Also, one other thing that I'll say about Notes, which a lot of people forget, the worst thing ever is you're typing out an Instagram post or a Facebook post. And both of these apps, now owned by the same company, are good for this. You go to do something and then you leave it for a second to say, answer the phone or check a text message to do something. And you go back and your draft is ghost. Like, it would just restart the app and disappear because they don't sleep properly. Yeah. So what I've learned to do is when I'm crafting an important, like a social media post for, say, the business or something, I craft it in Notes, you know, do all of the filling out everything there and then just copy and paste it into either Facebook or Instagram because it's super crappy how they would lose their position. So yeah, that's something that you should point out. The new Notes is amazing. And now also you can lock various notes.
Excellent.
Lock that as it what password protect them all.
Yes. You can password protect various notes. It's quite amazing what they've done with Notes. And it's kind of a sleeper. A lot of people ain't talking about
really
it.
Really powerful. Good pick, mate. Like that a lot. Like it a lot. I want to say thanks because clearly britishtechnetwork.com/subscriptions works because Hobbs has already sent his subscription in. Thanks, mate. Much appreciated. My cool thing is my watch strap for my iPhone.
One?
Right, here you go. So it's just a watch strap, Ewan. What's great about that? No, this is not just a watch strap. A, it's a real leather watch strap, which is kind of stiff. You know when you get a new leather strap and it's a bit stiff and you're like, oh, I can't wait for that to settle up. It's like that, so it's definitely real. The thing that's really cool about it is it's a leather strap for fat bastards. Look, it goes all the way around and tucks in.
Nice.
I'm on the third or fourth hole on it. It's available via... Amazon as well. It's the True Mer Italian genuine leather watch band quick release wrist straps for the Apple Watch 42mm, and it does wrists up to 8.7 inches in circumference. There you go. You can get it in black, brown and black, brown and silver, or tan and black and tan and silver, and it's £14.99 as well, so it's not even a rip off. And it,
yeah
Yeah. It's a genuine leather. You can smell it. It's genuine leather. And it's stiff and horrible at the minute, so I can't wait for it to subtle up a bit. I have to go in the shower with it on or something stupid. But it does fit the fatter wrist. The fuller gentleman will enjoy this no end. There you go.
I like that, the fuller gentleman. But you know what, you and after all of your years of complaining about it and stuff like that, there's actually a category on Amazon that says, what is it called? It's called large wrist Apple Watch band. Before, you used to be able to find nothing in there, but now it's actually a fleshed out category because people have figured it out.
I went into a clothing store once and I was trying on stuff and it was just like none of it was fitting. And I said to the girl, haven't you got it in FB? And she went, oh, that's funny, that's hilarious. I said, sorry, what are you laughing at? She went, fat bastard. She said, that's really funny. I said, I meant fuller body. And she just, her face went white like, oh, shit, what have I done? And then I cracked a smile and took the piss. So,
no, like, you know good well you fully meant fat bastard, but that's super funny that you scared her.
Where can we get a hold of you, Doc?
Oh, my God. I'm back in country, folks. I'm back here and I'm alive. Anyway, you can find me all over the interwebs at DOCROCK and on the Solid Podcast at solid.fm.
Yeah, so you went from a holiday in Japan to Hawaii. Yeah, no one's jealous here at all.
No.
Move along, nothing to see.
When you live here, you have to go somewhere else for vacation. I said, because
move along, nothing to see. Bastard. I mean, oh dear.
Fat bastard.
Patrice, where are you, mate?
Well, every week here on the Mac Show. And everything I do on thepatrice.com.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. And last but by no means least, Mr. Green.
Well, this is going to be a hell of a week for me. So I'm going to look after your new show, hopefully for a week until you sack me, which I understand.
Never happened.
I won't be offended. You can find me on British Mac. Episode number 159 is out tomorrow. Definitely wow. Tomorrow. And that's going to be the French one. And then the next one is going to be from Italy. So how ridiculous is that?
You're going to Rome.
Wow. I'm going to Rome, yes.
Nice.
So I thought I'd out rock Doc.
Is this going to just turn into a global backpacking tour for you of some description, really?
It might do. Wouldn't that be lovely? Wouldn't
you, you've become, I was going to say Ellen MacArthur, but is that the right woman? I think it is. Just decided to walk around the world one day.
Well, I do a lot of sitting, less walking, I would say.
It's either that or Forrest Gump.
Forrest Gump is probably... Without no, the running.
Ellen MacArthur's the yacht woman, isn't she? I've got that wrong. Who's the woman that walked around the world after Live Aid? Took her like 13 years or something stupid. Anyway, that's you, Greeny.
Well, I hope she had a nice time. But yeah, so that's my week, and I'm very excited about it. And
I'm not surprised.
It should be fun.
You're lucky git.
Polly Leptovsky.
Who?
It says Polly Leptovsky.
That doesn't sound like her. That doesn't sound like.
She said she walked 14,000 miles to become the first woman to walk around the world.
No,
for breast cancer.
No. This was Live Aid, and it was she was
Fiona Campbell.
It's 20. That might be her. It's 24,000 miles to go around the earth, mate. Minimum.
Yeah. So this Fiona Campbell lady walked 20,000 miles in 1967. She's from Tofts, Devonshire.
No, she was. We'll have to find that out for next week. No one really cares anyway, apart from us. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. Righty's taking over the big show tonight because I'm working. I've got to be putting cameras up down at Paddington's tube station, so I won't speak to you later. And but we'll be back next week. Both shows on the Friday as normal with me in here, and it'll be fun. Will it be Greeny in here? No, probably not, because he'll be off jet.
Yeah.
You'll be off jet. Yeah. You'll be back here by then, will you? Be well, back
I here. Can do it from Italy, can't I?
You can join in from Italy, absolutely, mate. There's no question of that. No problem at all. So, Greeny will be back on the show next week from unknown locations, maybe. It'd be great. See you all next week. Thanks for listening.